Tuesday edition of the Chris Raby Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. We're going to dive more into the Alex Pietrangelo story as Alex is officially headed to Las Vegas. The deal official last night, 7-year contract with the signing bonus, with the no movement clause. The Blues, of course, on Friday signing Torey Krug. And I think everyone realized that signaled the end of the Alex Pietrangelo era in St. Louis. And we're going to bring in one of the experts on this situation and on this story, Andy Strickland, that comes your way in just a moment. Don't forget, go on to ScoopsWithDannyMac.com to listen to the Chris Raby Show every day. Also, wherever you listen to your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, subscribe, leave a review, and you can also reach out to us. Tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. You can also send an email, chris@scoopswithdannymac.com. If you want to ask us a question for the mailbag, we've got a couple of good questions for Andy Strickland coming up here in just a few minutes. But chris@scoopswithdannymac.com. All right, Andy Strickland joins us on the Chris Raby Show on scoopswithdannymac.com. Andy has been right at the forefront of the Alex Pietrangelo news. Of course, you can hear Andy on the Cam and Strick pod, the Cam and Strick podcast taking over the hockey world. Follow Andy on Twitter at Andy Strickland. What's going on, Strick? I will say that I had Cam speak to my sports broadcasting class at Webster University a couple of weeks ago, and one of the students counted F-bombs, and we had 78. So the bar is set very, very high for you. I won't say that I expect 78 F-bombs in this conversation from you, but your co-host certainly sets the bar high for you on a day-to-day basis.
He shatters it every time he talks. I mean, he just shatters it. It's a new record all the time. They always say records are meant to be broken, Chris, as you know, and he breaks them. There's no doubt. That's just part of his vernacular, man. That's just the way he speaks.
He's a hockey guy.
It's like saying like or and or but or whatever the – you know, the typical, you know, words that are used in the English language, man. He inserts an F-bomb, but that's yeah. Cam, and that's Cam being Cam, and we love that about him.
Yeah, instead of like or but, it's an F-bomb. Speaking of breaking, you've been at the forefront of this Alex Pietrangelo news. What a interesting year it's been, and what an interesting time it is for the hockey world, Strick, as we are dealing with a lot of uncertainty. A lot of uncertainty in terms of the future of sports and how that may have changed the way that organizations, players think about things. How much different, I'll just ask you right now before we kind of dive into Petro, how much different do you think the landscape of free agency is and was and will be this year compared to if there had never been a pandemic and if things had just rolled along as usual and as expected over the past 12 months?
Well, I think it's different in the sense that maybe Pietrangelo would have been able to get a higher AAV and certainly a higher AAV in the open market because the salary cap obviously is going up. So whenever you have a flat cap and that number doesn't increase, that just means obviously teams don't have as much cash and money to work with. And that handcuffs teams. I mean, you look at Vegas, who just signed Alex Pietrangelo. I mean, they've got to move out another body or another contract, and they've already moved out two pretty good players. I mean, established NHL players in Paul Stastny and Nate Schmidt. I mean, these guys are really, really good hockey players, and they couldn't keep them. So, you know, you find ways to be creative. Now, in terms of how it relates to St. Louis, I don't think the pandemic impacts how they conduct their business and their organizational philosophy. There's been so much talk about signing bonus money. You know, that's just something that they don't believe in. No move clauses. They're not big fans of it. But I do say, and I've said this several times, everything would have been and is negotiable. And if it came down to a no move clause, I don't think they let Pietrangelo walk solely because of that. You know, obviously it's not something that Doug Armstrong is keen on doing. You know, and in the signing bonus money, they've inherited contracts that include signing bonus money. Ryan O'Reilly's contract, Braden Schenn's contract that he signed with Philly, had some bonus money in there. And they even offered Pietrangelo some signing bonus money. Now, albeit in the final year of the deal, they were willing to come up off of that, which shows you that they did want to get him signed. And they had the ability and the luxury and the advantage of being able to offer the eighth year. You know, one more year than any other team in the league was able to offer Pietrangelo. So, you know, there was an advantage there. They put $64 million on the table to try to keep him. They thought that was enough to get it done. But obviously it turned out very, very differently.
Andy Strickland is with us again. You can hear him on the Cam and Strick podcast. You tweeted this morning, just a bit ago, Alex Pietrangelo admitted to me this morning he wanted a new challenge. The closer he got to UFA, the more he had his sights set on playing elsewhere. Says decision came down to more than hockey. The idea of playing and living elsewhere was intriguing to him. This is the other side, Andy, that I think sometimes fans who are so close and so emotionally vested in the situation might forget. Like, sometimes you just want a new challenge, right? Like, that happens with any of us in life. You may, you know, be at a great company and you may have a great situation and a great opportunity, you know, to stay, but sometimes you just want to do something differently. And if that's the case, I certainly can't blame Alex or his family. And I imagine the signing bonus money has to be important as well, because we just saw this pandemic could bring the sports world to its knees. So if he can get half of his money in signing bonus, then, you know, that's got to be something that's attractive. A lot of things change, and sometimes you just want a new challenge, right?
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, and he's far from the first star player to go into free agency. And certainly we see players go into free agency every year. And we see star players change uniforms. I mean, how often do we hear that you just don't see, you know, players spend their entire careers with one organization?
It's so rare, man. It's so rare.
It doesn't happen. I mean, even a guy like Al MacInnis, who's so revered here in St. Louis, don't forget he was a superstar and probably already a Hall of Famer before he got here, from his days with Calgary. I mean, Chris Pronger, who's going to have his jersey retired whenever, you know, whenever we get fans back into the seats, and he's a Hall of Famer. You know, he went on and played for, what, three other teams after he left here? Brett Hall, I mean, the greatest player in the history of the organization. Bernie Federico, all these guys eventually, you know, finished their careers elsewhere. So this is not new. This is not something we haven't seen before. And I think in the case of Pietrangelo, and Chris, I've been saying this for weeks, the idea of exploring free agency and dipping your toes into free agency, seeing what else is out there, seeing what kind of offers he was going to be able to get from other teams, I think that was very exciting to him. And I think that excited him to want to see what else was out there. It didn't mean it was a guarantee that he wasn't going to sign here. But the way this played out, I don't think anybody inside the Blues organization is surprised by it. I think they fully expected this. I think they thought they had a chance to keep him, but when they couldn't truly begin negotiations shortly after winning the Stanley Cup, I think they realized, okay, we know where this is headed, and this is going to be a long road. I mean, there were several weeks at a time where there were no discussions whatsoever, and the Blues tried to reach out as recent as a week ago, maybe a little more than a week ago, and Pietrangelo's camp at that time weren't interested in having any type of discussions if the Blues weren't willing to come up off of that $8 million number that they already had on the table. So at the end of the day, we can talk about signing bonuses. We can talk about no move clauses. You can't get those unless there are true negotiations. And I don't really think, Chris, we ever got to that point where there was any true legitimate negotiating going on, at least negotiations in good faith.
Andy Strickland is with us. In the words of the immortal poet laureate Lil Wayne, real G's move in silence like lasagna. That's what Doug Armstrong did as he pivoted. Torrey Krug signed. I think that took the industry a bit by surprise. Tell us about Torrey Krug, why he's a good fit, and your initial reactions as the deal was not only done, but it was done as quickly as it was done on Friday.
Well, he did this not just once, he did it twice. I mean, he went out and signed and traded for Justin Falk, you know, during training camp last year. So this is the second time that he's done this.
Even O'Reilly on July 1st, a couple of years ago, caught everyone by surprise, didn't it?
Well, what I mean is in regard to the Pietrangelo situation, like, okay, he didn't have a good sense of where things were headed even last year in training camp, so he went out and made the Justin Falk deal. And then you look at where things are at right now, or a few days ago. And, you know, I knew heading into free agency, I even tweeted that out, that the Blues would be looking for another defenseman, likely a left-shot defenseman. There were three left-shot defensemen available, or three defensemen total in, available in free agency that could truly give you top 4 minutes, two of those being left shot, one of those being a right shot in Alex Pietrangelo, and the other two in TJ Brody and Torrey Krug. And Krug was probably the second-best defenseman available behind Pietrangelo in the open market. So I think maybe it surprised some people. Maybe the fact that they were able to get Krug surprised some people. I don't know if everybody should be surprised that they went out and landed another player, because I truly believe Doug Armstrong. Listen, he's one of the most proactive general managers, if not the most proactive GM in the league today. And I believe that, you know, he always had a plan B in mind. He wasn't just going to sit there and not do anything in the event they lose Pietrangelo. How do you face guys like, you know, Colton Parayko and David Perron and Ryan O'Reilly and Jaden Schwartz and Braden Schenn? How do you look at these guys if you lose your captain and one of your best players and you don't do anything? I mean, this tells those players, hey, we still expect to win. We still consider ourselves a Stanley Cup contender. We still believe that the window to win is open, and it remains open. And I think it sends a great message and a clear message to the rest of the team. Now, in terms of Torrey Krug, he's a really, really good hockey player. They're not just getting another guy. There's elements to his game that I think he does better than Pietrangelo in terms of his ability to get up the ice, probably a little more flash to his game, a little more creativity with the puck. He's a great distributor. He competes like an animal. He's feisty. He'll get in your face for a smaller player. He's got a good shot. His vision and playmaking ability in all three zones and his ability to distribute and move the puck, he does at a very high level. This guy's a good hockey player. And so, you know, they didn't just move on from Pietrangelo, but they brought in somebody who's really good. Now, is he Pietrangelo? You know, there's parts of his game that he doesn't do as well as Petro, specifically in terms of how Petro define or defends inside his own end. I mean, Pietrangelo is obviously one of the best, has a great stick. But if you're going to move on from a player like him, you better go out and make sure you get a good player in return and give Doug Armstrong credit, because he got the next best player available at that position in Torrey Krug. This guy is really, really good. I think Blues fans are going to be happy with him, and I think it's certainly a softened the blow of losing the Blues captain and Alex Pietrangelo. The fact that they were able to bring in Torrey Krug, I think, has a lot of Blues fans and people around hockey being like, okay, well, hey, the Blues remain serious. And as bad as it may sting a little bit to lose a Pietrangelo, they got a pretty damn good player in return.
Yeah, Strick, I call it the benefit of the doubt clause. And it's something I give to Doug Armstrong, for instance, a guy in a management group and a front office that has made right decision after right decision. If you're a fan, even though sometimes it sucks to see a David Backes or an Alex Pietrangelo leave, or to see a Brian Elliott traded, or whatever, like, you give them the benefit of the doubt because of their track record. How is your appreciation, or perhaps the industry's appreciation, for Doug Armstrong and the way he goes about it changed over the last 3, 4, 5 years as not only defending cup champs, but also operating up against the cap in a cap era with the success the Blues have had?
Well, he understands talent. He understands the league. He knows players around the league. I mean, Doug Armstrong scouts as much as any other GM out there too, so he knows the league. And like I said, he's as proactive as any GM that's out there. And again, I get back to the organizational philosophy, and I think this is important too, and I think it's important for agents to understand this. You know, sometimes we give agents too much credit, and a lot of times they don't get enough credit, but it's how they negotiate with individual teams. You cannot negotiate with every team the same way, Chris. You can't try to go into negotiations and negotiate with the St. Louis Blues the same way that you would with the Toronto Maple Leafs, just because of the flexibility they have in Toronto from a salary standpoint. I mean, they can handle the big-time signing bonus money. You know, so can Vegas. There's a reason why the Blues don't do that. You know, they're not strapped with a ton of cash where they just, you know, reach into their pocket and they have that same luxury that some of these other teams have, you know? So if you truly want to keep the player in St. Louis, I mean, you got to look at it and you got to say, okay, does he enjoy living in the city? Does he get enough ice time? Do you like his role? Is he the captain of the team? Does his family like living here? Do his kids like being here? If you start checking all the boxes and it's yes, then you got to make a decision what's best for the player. And sometimes it's probably best to stay, especially when you have a chance to all of a sudden become, you know, one of the best players in the history of the organization. And obviously everything that comes with that, with the accolades and, you know, people talk about jerseys being retired and whatnot. So, you know, I think from that standpoint, I think that's where things went a little bit sideways, Chris. If you are Alex Pietrangelo and his representatives, and you come in trying to negotiate a deal that you would do with one of the more wealthy teams, as opposed to looking at it for what it is, as the Blues, as a mid-major or a mid-market team, small market, whatever, however you want to look at it, you just knew they weren't going to be able to get that done. And to try to handcuff or strong-arm a mid-market team that is trying to keep their captain and one of their best players who put $64 million on the table, but you still want a certain type of structure that you know they probably can't deliver, I think that has a lot of people, you know, scratching their head a little bit right now, just in terms of how that went down.
You think 27 eventually hangs in the rafters?
I don't. I don't. Now, not to say that he wasn't a great player here. Now, things could change. And let me rephrase that.
It's also hard to define what that means, right? Like,
well, if he goes on and wins two or three more cups and becomes a legend, you know, who ends his career with, you know, three Stanley Cups, maybe a Conn Smythe, maybe he wins a Norris, maybe he wins two Norris trophies.
Or who knows? And maybe ends his career back in St. Louis. Who knows?
Right, right. But I'm just saying, like, if he truly, like, evolves into a legendary
an all-time
talent,
Hall of Famer, yeah.
All-time player. You know, like, we're, even in the case of Chris Pronger, you know, when he left here, he had already won a Hart Trophy as the MVP of the league. He had won a Norris Trophy. You know, nothing against Pietrangelo because he's very good. But let's also understand that he's never been a finalist for a major league award. He made his first all-star team, I believe, in his late 20s. Now, there were some Olympic years in there where maybe he would have made an all-star team. And listen, he's put up some good numbers. And obviously, the system the Blues play, how, you know, the emphasis on defense maybe has limited him a little bit offensively prior to last season. You saw him be a little more freed up. And I think the evolution of Colton Parayko has contributed towards that, where Pietrangelo had way more offensive starts last year. You know, obviously being on the number one power play helps in terms of your overall production. This guy scored 16 goals in less than a full season. I mean, he had a great season last year. I think it was the best season I'd ever seen Alex Pietrangelo play, at least from an offensive standpoint, just the way he was getting around the ice and the confidence he was playing with. So that's why I think Vegas is going to be a great fit for him from that standpoint, because they do like to run and gun it a little bit. They are very aggressive offensively. He's going to have some freedom to go, and he'll probably put up some good numbers. He'll probably fit in well there. And he looks at that organization long-term, too, and it feels like they have a great opportunity to be good for a long time. And the window maybe will be open longer for them than it is here in St. Louis to win a Stanley Cup, in his opinion. So that's what leads to those decisions. But again, could he have his jersey hanging up down the line? It certainly could happen. And it certainly would have happened for sure if he would have signed his contract. But again, I don't hold it against him for not doing it, man. Every player has that right. They earn the right to go to free agency. And in this particular case with Pietrangelo, he took advantage of the system and he chose to play elsewhere.
Let me throw two questions at you that I've gotten that we're going to answer later this week on our mailbag with Dan McLaughlin. Andy Strickland's with us for another couple of minutes. Which non-NHL athlete would make the best NHL captain?
Ooh.
And we'll take Yachty off the table because that's just an easy answer.
Yeah, yeah. Non-NHL. Oh, I'm going to say Jimmy Butler from the Miami Heat.
Ooh! I like that.
I'd put him on there in a heartbeat. He'd be on my team any day of the week. I love me some Jimmy Butler.
Just setting aside the fact that he broke up like three different organizations.
Oh, yeah. And he's getting your face, too.
That's a good one. All right, I'm trying to think. All right, that's a good one from the NBA.
Yeah.
I was trying to think baseball or NFL. I think like Troy Polamalu when he was at the Steelers would have made a great one.
Oh, yeah, Brian Urlacher.
Urlacher, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, Jimmy Butler,
Matt
though.
Millen. Matt Millen.
Yep, yep. I like Butler, though. Yeah, okay. And how about this? Because we're starting to see some fans trickle back into events. Which, and we'll say, take hockey out of it, which event would you most want to go to without fans? So it's kind of right now in a pandemic world, it is your private viewing party. You can be there front row. Where are you going?
I'm going to an NBA game, man, just because, first off, even with 18, 20,000 fans in the stands, anybody who's ever sent our
unbelievable
courtside at an NBA game, it's incredible. You hear the trash talking. You hear everything. It is truly incredible. And I think there's more trash talking and more trash talk in an NBA game probably than any other sport. There's a lot more chirping that goes on in hockey than people probably realize too. But again, the NBA trash talk is at another level, certainly there in the NFL as well. But if I had to choose, I'm going NBA, baby. Courtside with Jimmy Butler in the game too.
Yeah, when I worked in Memphis covering the Grizzlies, I got to sit courtside for most of those games and watching those guys do what they do. Like, I'll never diminish what NHL players can do on skates, but watching someone the size of LeBron or watching the third string center who never plays before the game make 20 out of 23 pointers from the top of the key is unbelievable. I think I would go.
I know.
I'd love to walk at the Masters this year with nobody on the golf course.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. Yeah, if you're a hardcore golf guy. Listen, going to the PGA Championship when it was here in St. Louis, that was an eye-opener.
What
too,
a week, man.
I loved being there. One of my favorite events ever.
What a week.
Ever.
Andy Strickland, the Cam and Strick podcast. How about this? You can get anyone. You inject them with the truth serum. You're getting them for 30 minutes, 45 minutes on Cam and Strick. Who are you sitting down with? Outside of Chris Rabie or Danny Mac.
Man.
Doesn't have to be a hockey guy.
Hockey player? No, it doesn't have to be.
But you can't say Jimmy Butler because we know you're a big Jimmy Butler guy now.
No, no. If I get – listen, Deion Sanders or Allen Iverson, man, my two favorite athletes growing up.
Awesome.
Those two guys. And Barry Sanders. But Deion would be cool, man. And now he's doing his Barstool thing, and he's just got a great personality. But I'd love to hear some of the stories from back in the day with the Cowboys. But, just in terms of – wanting to sit down with some of those guys, man, I'd love to sit down with Deion.
So you'll love this. Allen Iverson, when I was in Memphis, it was 2009. It was like the end of his career, and the Grizzlies signed him the beginning of the season. It was like, you know, a publicity stunt. This was before the Grizzlies got good. And our guy, Rob Fisher, who's the Grizzlies sideline reporter, it was like the first five or six games of the year, AI did not play. And it was after a game, AI called him over. They're like in L.A., and he's like, hey, man, I'd like to talk post-game. So Fish said, no, this is unbelievable. You know, AI is hurt. His hamstring's been hurt, you know, but we're going to get him, you know, on tape. And this is a guy who's, you know, an NBA legend, a future Hall of Famer. And he says, AI, how you feeling, man? You know, how's the hamstring? He goes, my hamstring's fine, but my ass hurts from sitting on the bench. The next day, Allen Iverson was relieved of his duties from the Memphis Grizzlies.
I liked Iverson. I had so much respect for him just being maybe
just a warrior, dude. He would make a great NHL captain.
Yeah, he would. He would. Love Iverson.
And
his story, his documentary, I think that's on Netflix, or whatever, is must see TV. So check that out.
Andy Strickland. We'll have to talk a little NBA next time. The Cam and Strick podcast. Appreciate it, brother. Thanks for jumping on. Great stuff. Being on top of the Petro news, and we'll talk soon. I appreciate the time.
All right, you got it, Chris. No problem, man. We'll talk soon.
Thank you to Andy Strickland. Coming up tomorrow, more golf talk. Last week, Rick Gaiman from RickRungood.com joined us to give us his daily fantasy picks. And one of the listeners that we gave away a subscription to Rick's website to won $4,000, won second place in a DraftKings contest last week using Rick's cheat sheet. So Rick will join us tomorrow. We'll also have Dan visit with us on Thursday and a couple of more surprises along the way. So be sure to tune into the Chris Rabie Show the rest of this week, 12 noon, at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com and wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Until then, Chris Rabie saying be nice to each other. And as always, peace. Reminds me everything I
sign.